And welcome back to Coast to Coast, and many thanks to David Politis for staying with us 3 hours talking about a most riveting subject. My gosh. Okay, but we've got open lines for you this hour. Just about anything goes, so get ready to make the calls. Lots of things going on today on this planet, and you want to talk about it, we can. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back, and don't forget, we're going to take your text questions as well for Tom, so we'll do several of those this hour as well here on Coast to Coast. And let us go to the phones to get things started, because, folks, this hour is going to fly by. Let's go to Faith in Dayton, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hello, Faith. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Now I cannot sleep.
Me too. Same thing.
You know what? I'm a coastie.
Good.
So it's okay. I have a couple of questions. One is, I'm wondering if it could be something to do with government, ours.
You can't rule that out either. See, David is very non-committal. When I've tried to pin him down in the past about what this might be, he doesn't want to say. I think he has his own idea, but he doesn't want to say. But,
I noticed that.
But when you say, you know, government involvement, you know, anything, I think you can't rule it out.
No. That one in Columbus, Ohio was really crazy because I'm near Columbus.
Oh, too close.
And
way too close.
He gives me the jeebies.
I mean, can you imagine being with somebody, a friend, a loved one, anybody, a child? You turn around and, Faith, they're gone.
That would mess me up. I think I'd be done.
I don't think I'd be the same. I mean, if something...
Imagine. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not even.
Scary stuff. Okay, thanks for being on the program. Next up, let's go to Todd in Battlefield, Missouri. Welcome to the program. Hi, Todd.
Yes, in fact, I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
This echoes agreeing with your previous caller. This sounds a lot like the old MK Ultra experiments that were conducted by the CIA in the late 60s and up to the early 70s, which they have admitted actually happened, and they were conducted on college campuses, like one previous caller stated. Only a government agency would know whether somebody had a cell phone or not, because they would have access to people knowing whether they have cell phones or not, to their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And because when you get a legal firearm, at least, you fill out paperwork basically stating it's like who has a firearm at least legally. So they would know who, at least by process of elimination, who doesn't have a firearm. As I said, once again, it's like I have a military background, which I won't really get into, but there's a lot of devices out there that can either block cell phone signals or basically through Google, just kind of blur you out
of
your location. So this sounds a lot like maybe a rogue government faction. What do you think?
Well, it's just so weird. The fact that so many people disappear with other people there, that's what's so weird, with no sounds and stuff. I just don't get how, you know, if you're with somebody and they're 10 feet behind you or 100 feet behind you, I think you're going to hear something, right? I mean, no government is that quiet where they can sneak up and take you and grab you, and you'll never know what happened. You turn around and, you know, you'd see something. Now, there's something else strange here. I think it's one of several possibilities. One, people are naturally dying. They're wandering off. They get lost, and they die. They're stuck in the elements out there. Two, there are murderers out there or serial killers. I don't think you can ever discount that possibility. There are lots of sick people out there, folks. Lots of sick people. And then the third possibility, I don't think it's Bigfoot. I think there's some kind of portal, and one of my favorite words, that people are stumbling into, some other dimension that's out there, and they just kind of wander in there. But why doesn't everybody wander in there? If a whole group's there, only it's the last person that disappears. That's what's so baffling about it. Tom, you've got a text for me, and what do you have?
We do. This will switch gears just a little bit. It's not a stretch for you at all. This is from Myra in Salt Lake City, Utah. I really like your stories of your grandkids. I am 97 and don't have any myself.
97.
But I want to know if you can actually describe for us the joy they bring to your life.
Oh, they're great, all of them. As a matter of fact, they're coming back this way for Easter. You know, and I've got six. Ari is going to be 22 in June, and she's in her last year of college. And then Charlie, little Charlotte, we call her Charlie, that's what she wants to be called, is 4 years old. That's the one that looks like
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Matilda and Mrs. Doubtfire. And she acts like her, too. So, and then
she's cute.
In between from Ari, I've got, and this is chronological, going down in age, we've got Mia, and then Kaya, and then Gavin, and then we've got Simon, and then we've got Charlie. And my three kids each have two. And they're great. I mean, I couldn't ask for better grandchildren and better kids. I'm very blessed there.
Did you ever think you'd have that many?
No. Heck no. Heck no. Well, when I was 20 years old, I mean, we had Wendy. And, I mean, that was early. 20 years old, I was working at a television station in Detroit. I was going to college full-time, working on my degree in communications, and I had a baby on the way. I mean, you talk about responsibility
wow.
at an early age, Tom.
Wow.
Long time ago. But, so that's it.
See, not a stretch for you, huh?
That's it. 97 years old, by the way. That's great. She keeps on plugging along there, huh?
And she's texting. Isn't that amazing?
That is fantastic.
In itself.
Ask her if she's got Snapchat.
Well, I can't really ask her, but...
Text her back.
Wouldn't that be funny if she sends them?
Let's go to Patty in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Patty, welcome to the program.
Thank you, George. How are you?
Sure thing. Good.
Yeah, George, I've been trying to get a hold of you a long time about this. It's I'm not psychic or anything, but I had a waking vision about 3 days after that plane, the
MH370.
That 370 went missing, and it was so vivid that it just imprinted on my brain, and it just keeps playing over and over. I've written it down. I've drawn pictures of it and everything, but I have to tell you, this is what I saw in the vision as to what happened to that plane. And it starts with, I have a three-quarter view of the plane resting in a dry river delta, like it took a pretty sloppy landing coming in.
Okay.
The right wing is up in the air. The opposite wing, the far wing, is kind of dug a little bit into the bank, and it's one wheel, side of the wheels is up on the ground, off the ground. And in this vision, I saw soldiers all dressed in khaki, all tan colored gear, as well as several different personnel carriers in military-looking rigs. And these soldiers all had their backs to me except the far one, so I couldn't tell a race or anything with them, but they were wearing very specific round-top hats with a brim on them.
What color?
And they had the little shield that goes around the back that protects the neck from the sun.
Yeah. What color hats were they?
Pardon?
What color hats were they? Because that's important.
Khaki sand-colored.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, they were unpacking and running towards this plane with cargo netting.
Did the plane look intact? It wasn't broken up, was it?
Oh, it was not broken up. Now, the only thing I could say would be the right side of the plane, as if you're sitting in the plane, the right side of the plane was dug into the bank a little bit, and it looked like something, it had caught something and caused the plane to tilt up on one side.
Hmm.
Okay. And of the other details, I could see no signs of any passengers. You know, there were no, like, people. But all these guys running towards it, they were unpacking the cargo netting and everything. I wanted to say about the river, like a dry river delta, you know, where no water had been for quite a while. But the banks of it were high enough that it would go over the top of the plane, and it couldn't be seen from ground level.
Okay, and even though you couldn't see the passengers, by the way the plane had landed, could you assume that the passengers were okay?
I would say so, yes, because the plane did not look damaged. There was no front damage or anything. Just when it had come to rest, it had caught a wing in the sandy bank, and that had caused it to tip up at the very end. and otherwise the plane looked completely intact.
Did it look like the plane could be towed somewhere?
From the view that I was looking at it, that would have been behind me. It would either have had been towed back out the way it came in or forward, to an area I couldn't see. But I would say, yes, it can be removed. And they were planning on hiding it until then. So you know what we're all worried about here.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to use that plane for something.
Well, I had a guest on just a week ago who was talking about that very thing, about China probably wanting to do it. I'm not sure China would do it, but somebody might be. Now, they said they found some more wreckage and that they think it might be from that plane. Who knows? Let's go to Lucas in Vancouver, Canada now. Lucas, welcome to the program.
Hello, George. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I got a question. Well, I got a sort of a theory as to maybe why people are going missing. I've been kind of thinking about it. There's a lot of conspiracies, of course. You got many people on your show, and they all have their input on the different things that goes around in the world.
Yeah.
And one thing that I thought was the two types of people that go missing are the ones that go in national parks and one in cities and colleges. So you have the urban center, and then you have sort of like the parks. And to throw people off, for example, in national parks, they always end up with hypothermia, drowning, or people automatically assume it's maybe animals. So it's almost as if people are disappearing, and then we automatically just say, well, it's due to drowning or animal hypothermia. With the city colleges, it's GHB, it's too much drinking, or, they drowned in the water. And it's almost as if something's trying to throw us off from finding out the truth. And, thing that you guys played about...
That clip, yeah.
Person.
That was horrible, wasn't it?
It was. And, I don't know, I got chills up my spine as well. Like
me too.
And it did kind of sound like a sort of like a creature kind of at one point. And then when they said that there was a person that said stop, and then, went dead, it's kind of like maybe something told whatever that was to stop frightening the person. And then, like, you even said that it's maybe a portal. And I was thinking, like a lot of the movies that we have, like sci-fi movies, when people go through a portal, it's like a vacuum. And perhaps when they go through it, they don't have any air. And as they pop out through the other side, they're just, they're missing clothing or whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's like everything sucked out of them, all the energy sucked out of them. So, I mean, you got these different theories. And with the German descent, the people that are going missing, I had a theory perhaps there's a Nazi connection. When the Nazis all left Europe and took off running, perhaps, I know there's a theory of them going to Antarctica, the Hollow Earth theory. It sounds really crazy, but perhaps there's places that they're hiding, and maybe they need people from German descent for whatever reason. Maybe more genetic testing. I don't know. It's just a theory.
You're right on there on a lot of things, by the way. Got to tell you this really sad story that occurred. I have, when I'm in Los Angeles, I've gotten to know a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. And there was one guy who was just a neat guy. Loved the show. Was full of life. And his daughter, her name is Allie Cobran. And Allie is an up-and-coming actress. I mean, she is really doing a lot of work out there in Hollywood. And a great girl, very attractive, and just the ideal daughter, and is doing well in Hollywood. She sent me a text from her father's phone a day or so ago and said she had horrible news. And I just had seen him like 4 days ago. And said that he had died Sunday morning, and they're going to cremate him. Unbelievable. But the message here I want to impart in everybody is how quickly your life can change and everything around you change. I mean, I just saw the guy, and now he's gone. Now he's dead. And so my simple theory is truly live every day like it's your last. Because you just never know when that clock is going to stop. Mike in Ohio, take it away, Michael.
Hey, good morning, George. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I was going to send you an email, but I got busy. I'm going to start a blog.
Oh, are you? Cool.
Yeah. It's going to be for charity, and it's going to help people, and stuff
good
like
for
that.
You.
And I was going to talk to David because I had an experience in 2010.
What happened?
I was in Cuyahoga Valley National Recreation Area. I'm of German descent. I usually run about 6 miles a week. And I was out there, and I had an experience that scared the hell out of me.
Same kind of thing? Like a disappearance?
Yeah, almost. Like I almost could have been. And I've always had a propensity to just sense evil.
Yeah.
So, like, 1 second I sensed it. The second second, I was like, are you sure? Sure this is what it is? And yes, and by the third second, I was turning around, running the other way.
So you were jogging? You were out jogging?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what did you feel, though? I mean, did you see anything?
No, it doesn't feel like a sense of fear for me because I wasn't afraid. I mean, other people, I guess I could say, could be afraid.
Were you alone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And it was just a sense of ultimate evil, more than fear for me. But I could see how other people could be afraid, and maybe, you know, people of German descent don't get afraid as easily.
Well, now, did this evil feel as if it was engulfing you?
Almost, except for the way out, except for the way that I ran, that I was, you know, I was coming, running down the trail. I turned around and immediately, boom.
You literally ran out of it, didn't you?
I tell you, George, I can run 2 miles in about 11 and a half minutes.
Going to get you to the Olympics.
And when I cleared the tree line, I had about 150 yards of grass to go through before I got to the parking lot. I could still sense it behind me. And I got to the truck, and I was gone.
That's strange.
And the only thing I could suggest to people, you know, David suggested a personal locator, weapons. You know, I could see that. But dogs. But then I found out with the dogs, you have to have more than three.
Why?
And you have to teach the dogs to run ahead of you. Because when they stop, you stop.
You stop.
They won't go on. They won't go on if they sense evil.
Now, do you think whatever's happening is truly supernatural?
Yeah. It's something.
Yeah.
It's just something that I felt. I mean, it could have been just a regular person or something, or maybe I read their aura at a distance.
Well, yeah, but you would have seen them, right?
Right, because it was late fall, November, all the leaves were off the trees. I could see 100 yards, even though there were scattered trees through the area. You could hear crunching of the leaves if someone was approaching you, you know? So, unless they were on, like, the trail that was kind of... You know,
what if there's something going on in this universe, not necessarily this planet, where we have these other dimensions, and you almost stumbled into it, and you felt it? Now, what is evil? What does evil feel like, by the way?
It's just hard to explain. It's just that you're almost, like you said, engulfed by a presence that, you know, all your senses are basically gone. Like you say, you don't have all your senses, sight, sound, touch, and there's just a presence, say, behind you, whispering in your ear, or that presence that they can do anything they want to you forever and ever.
Oh, they sure can. It is kind of frightening. It really is. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take more of your open line phone calls here. I like doing that in the middle of the week every once in a while. So we will do that and wrap things up with your final calls next. Okay, we're back here. Final segment of Open Lines. Tomorrow, by the way, on Coast to Coast, we've got another series of great programs for you. Ted Brewer joins us, as we're going to be talking about his work called Breakthrough Health for the first couple hours. He's going to be talking about GMOs, Morgellons, chemtrails. And then Ken Hansen joins us talking about the visionaries, his latest work about just what the apocalypse holds for all of us. So make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast show. Let's go back to the calls now. We'll go to Ron in Idaho to get things started. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I didn't get in time
for David.
David, but here in Idaho last summer we had a little boy go missing, and
same kind of situation.
Yeah, they were camping near a little lake in the Salmon National Forest, and the videos that I saw of it, the area was fairly well open, so there was no place a person could really hide so much, you know. But and the campground was full, so they moved farther down on the lake where there was nobody, and they were busy getting ready to go fishing or whatever they were doing, and all of a sudden that little boy is gone. He was like 2 to 4 years old.
Oh, my God.
And they hunted for over a month, and nothing was found. And then here this spring, just a news report about 3 weeks ago, they're trying to prosecute the family. But
yeah, the family's always the first that they look at, all the time.
It's really a sad case, you know. And I was thinking, you know, when people were talking about how they go missing, I was thinking, like, you know, remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where the cloaked alien?
Mm-hmm.
That they were fighting the
Predator.
I'm wondering if there aren't cloaked UFOs and aliens picking these people up. You know?
That could be, Ron. That's a sad story, by the way, that you reported. Let's go to Jan in Brooklyn. Hi, Jan. Good morning to you.
Hi. It's good what the guy just said, because I have two things, different things, but my friend Benjamin called me this morning, and he started saying that they have they can make people invisible. In fact, you can even pay money to this university, like a couple of $100, and they'll teach you how to do it.
How to become invisible?
Yeah. So that's, I mean, they may
$200. That's not bad, huh?
No, I said maybe $400 or $500. I'm not sure of the amount.
How do they do it? How do you become invisible like that?
I don't know. You have to this course in the school. He told me about it.
Well, go sign up for the school and let us know how it works.
You gonna pay for me?
Well, you got money, Jan. You're one of the richest women in Brooklyn, I'm told.
No, I got messed up. My girlfriend died. She had $1 million, and the rabbi stole the money.
The rabbi took the cash?
Yeah, he had her in an assisted living home, and he made himself power of attorney, and she had Alzheimer's, and
it was a whole mess.
It was a real mess. I was trying to get her to do a will. It was crazy. Anyhow, you take the course. Why me? Anyhow, my theory is just also that maybe it might be a sex thing. If they're taking such good-looking guys and everything, they might be, you know, using them for sex or something. But let me just tell you something else.
All right.
Because it's going to be for tomorrow's program. You can ask the person tomorrow. The psychic said that they're doing like GMOs and vaccinations and chemtrails to dumb down the people, because the new babies being born are on such a high level that they need to dumb us down.
Interesting theory. That could be. Jan, that might be. Hey, send me an email of where the disappearing course is. We'll check into it. All right, Tommy, we got the more text messages, our final one for the night. What do you have?
We do. I have a real quick message for you. Billy G just texted, and he says hello, and he is listening.
I love Billy G.
Yeah, he just got back from, I think, Cuba.
Oh, he went to Cuba? Really?
Yeah, they played.
When the president was there?
I don't know if that was around the time, but he sent me some pictures. So this text is from James in Fort Myers, Florida. He says, I am a practicing magician, and I wanted to know if you are a fan of magic and who you consider to be the best.
I am a fan of magic. You know, some of the old-timers, of course. Tommy, don't do that. Don't clear your mouth with your mic open. All right?
What's that?
I said don't clear your throat with your mic open.
I think you're hearing things.
No, I'm hearing you. So let's... Harry Black, I think it was Harry Blackstone. He was one of the great magicians of all time. He was good. Copperfield is good. Chris Angel is more of an illusionist. He's good too. But they're all good.
Did you ever see those shows where they gave the secrets? Those are what I liked.
What kind of secrets?
Like they do these specials. I don't know if it was NBC or what it was, and they would actually have magicians who would.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that. Not a lot of magicians will tell you their real secrets.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Sure.
Let's go to Terry in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Terry, you're on the air.
Hey, George. I was wondering, are you coming back to Toronto this year? And if so, is it possible to get Dr. Sky on the schedule?
I'd love to get Dr. Sky. There's no immediate plan to come back to Toronto yet. I know Tom's checking into it, but I would love it. I mean, we've been there 4 years in a row, and it's been just great for us.
Oh, it'd be great to have you back. I've been there the last 3 years.
Oh, thank you. Did you wait in the meet and greet line, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, I remember you now.
Thank you.
All right, Terry, thanks. You take care. Let's go to Jerry in Sacramento. Hello, Jerry, take it away.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, just a little change up on the scary disappearance stuff that happened. Now, the one thing about the university where they teach you to become invisible, I think the only thing that disappears is your money.
Maybe.
But this happened to me a while back, and I was sitting in our local Taco Bell enjoying a burrito and looking around. It's like 1:30 in the morning. And how much traffic there is. The Taco Bell, there's people coming in and out. And just how busy our lives are now, 24 hours a day. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I look out the window to my left, and here is my cat somehow got out of the car, and it's snipping the front tire of a car that's just getting ready to back up.
Oh, no.
And so I love this guy. And I jump out of my car, and my phone and food goes flying, and I go run over and I'm, baby, please come here. And I'm tapping on the window of the lady's car, telling her not to move. Don't move my cat. You know, she's looking at me like I'm crazy, which I am. But so I drop to my knees, and I look under the car, and there he is underneath the car, and the lady, thank God, had stopped. And
I said,
baby, come here, please. And he just takes off running across the parking lot. And cars are coming in and out. I'm going, oh, my God, and I'm running after him. He stops, and he looks at me, sees me coming. And his eyes get really big, and he takes off running full blast right out into the street. And this is a real busy intersection. Now, I'm chasing him down the side of the road. It's starting to get dark. My sides are hurting. I'm chasing him so far. He goes up the on-ramp on the freeway. Okay, now he goes down into a gully along the side of the freeway.
Oh, he's going everywhere.
And I'm George. I'm just thinking this is not going to end well. I know. I just know it. And I'm running down the gully behind him, tripping over people that were homeless people camping down there. And I'm in the dark now. And I just see my cat's tail just go disappear into the dark.
And they're fast. I mean, you can't catch them.
And I'm sitting there, and my heart was coming out of my throat. I love this guy so much. And I just didn't know why he did this thing. So I'm walking back to my car to get my flashlight and come back here and continue looking. And as I approach back to the car, there's my cat sitting in the window looking at me.
No.
And he's thinking, Dad, now why did you just chase that strange cat so far?
That's funny. That's a great
It wasn't even my cat.
That wasn't yours at all? Oh,
the one
you
I chased.
It was. Oh.
The one was, mine was still in my window, so it was just a cat that looked like him.
That's amazing. I thought he raced back and got there.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay. Hey, thanks
George,
for the call.
Thanks for everything.
Okay. Let's go next to Tammy, a truck driving in Kentucky. Hi, Tammy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George.
Hi.
I got two things. First, I am a grandma who does believe in putting the leash on the youngins. Yeah.
I mean, I used to think it was weird. Now I understand why they did it.
Yeah, they can get away from you too quick in a crowd.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Somebody could grab them. Yep. Yeah. And secondly, my heart's kind of pounding on this one. It's about the disappearance of people. I had two encounters back in 2009, extraterrestrial encounters. The second one involved also reptilians. And I can only go into it briefly because there are so many details involved. But I was, when I told my story to someone that I have known all of my life, this person had also had an encounter back in the early 70s. And when I was telling them what had happened, they begged me to not talk about my encounters because of that exact reason. They said that the extraterrestrials and such do not want people like me who have had the encounters talking about it. And if we keep talking about it, they come get us. They take us. And so my heart's kind of pounding on this one. I haven't really talked about it or discussed it for probably at least 3 or 4 years now. But every time I listen to one of your shows and they you know, something, the topics are similar to this with the UFO visitations, extraterrestrials, I just, you know, I want to call in, but I hesitate. But tonight I went ahead and went with it because it hits really close to home with
it. Sure does.
With the fact that now that I have that in my head, that, you know, I mean, I it hasn't happened yet because I'm still here, but
you never know.
And I'm, you know, if it happens, the problem is, come back, I won't be alive to tell about it. I seriously thought of trying to get in touch with your friend Linda Moten Howe.
She's on next Thursday, by the way, next week. You should.
And possibly tell her the story beginning to end because there are so many tentacles.
Well, would you like her email address?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's easy to remember, Tammy. It's earthfiles@earthfiles.com. Simple as that. earthfiles@earthfiles.com. Let's go to our first-time caller, Richard in North Dakota. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Hey, George, good to talk to you.
You too.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and you're a great show, I guess I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
Anyways, I was calling about your show tonight with David, and I just wanted to say that I had read a lot about this subject just because I'm infatuated with some reason. And
I don't blame you.
A lot of reports from park rangers and stuff and people that have had these kind of ideas, and basically I just wanted to share my opinion on what I feel like it is, and I feel like David might feel what it is some kind of intelligent entity, ancient in origins, that lies on the fringe of society. I believe that it's biologically capable of opening in between our dimension and the dimension that lies right next to ours. And I feel like they're able to somehow pull us in there, and that's why they prey on those that are the last in line, or those that are alone, or those that are weak or young. And for some reason, though, I feel like they don't want us for our possessions or even our skin or to eat us or anything like that. I feel like it's more like they want us for our energy.
But why do they kill these people?
Well, I believe maybe it's just the shock of pulling them in and out of these dimensions and just the shock of that on our own body, that we're not capable of that. And they are, and when they do that to us and they zap the energy out of us, then we're no longer alive. But I feel like there's something out there that just preys on the weak and preys on the alone, and I just had to share my opinion on that.
It could be. It is frightening, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. It certainly is.
Richard, thanks. I mean, there are two subjects that are really, really frightening. The one with David Politis, the one you've just heard, missing people, and then the black-eyed children with David Weatherly really gets to me. I mean, that is really a scary topic as well. Well, we're going to wrap up this night, but we've got more Coast to Coast shows for you all week long. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If those of you are looking to meet up with people, paranormaldate.com and conspiracydate.com as well. That's been around for a couple months. That's a companion website there. And people are starting to, because it's growing, they're starting to meet, and it's really cool. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.